Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Raptors, Magic on a Friday night. Raptors, as you would expect, shorthanded, unable to generate enough offense to overcome what is a pretty good Orlando Magic team. I mean, I feel like their ceiling isn't that high, at least right now. I just don't feel like they have the offensive pop to really create that many problems with their scoring. But defensively, they have a lot of size, and they have some pretty dynamic wings who cause a lot of the issues for the Raptors. Raptors right now, especially due to the injuries, quite undersized. And you kind of knew going into this matchup that it was going to be very difficult. And you know, I think Raptors lose tonight 113 to 103. Raptors, continue to slide. And, you know, I guess this is better for the pick and all that kind of stuff. But in any case, it was just a pretty difficult game against the Magic. The Raptors fell down early, right away. And you saw Darko have to take an early timeout. You've seen that happen quite a few times this season. Darko called a timeout 2 minutes into the game after the Magic started off with a 9-3 start. And look, a lot of that is just defensively for the Raptors. You know, that intensity has just not been set by the starting group. It's something that, you know, Darko talked about last week, wanting to get better starts. And, you know, that's obviously something that they've been working on. They had gotten better on that front, but now you see them slip. It's just going to be like this all year. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be lots of inconsistency. I think, again, like, it wasn't even exactly like the Magic came out and played some sort of like amazing brand of basketball, but they were just pretty solid. They didn't really give up too many rebounds. And, you know, to their credit, they were able to really score. Now, I think for them, it was really, for at least in the first quarter, it was the downhill play of Franz Wagner. The Raptors, again, shorthanded. So when you're talking about wing players who have to really guard on the perimeter, not just with length, but with enough size against a guy like Franz, who's 6'9", you know, when you're throwing Gary against them, when you're throwing, like, you know, Bruce Brown against them, these guys just aren't big enough to sort of contend, especially when you also don't have shot blocking at the back there, because Kelly's at the back. You could take a charge, but realistically, he's not going to block your shot, and nobody's really afraid of the shot block more than anything else. I think intimidation is just absolutely not there. And so, you know, he was able to get downhill. And weirdly enough, it was actually the Raptors' second unit that got the Raptors back into the game. I think part of it was Orlando's offense for the second unit just didn't look that great. It was a lot of Paolo having the ball in the post and holding it. And the Raptors did a decent job of mixing up their coverage. Sometimes they were about a double team. Sometimes they showed kind of, there's just one guy guarded him and played him really tough. But it was just a lot of static play with him in the post with his back to the basket. And you know, he made a really nice skip pass once or twice. But ultimately, the Raptors were able to force him into misses or just empty sort of one-and-done possessions. And that, of course, actually allowed the Raptors to get out on the fast break. And that's where the Raptors did most of their scoring, especially that second unit. They're not a group that has much scoring. Like, you know, the Raptors guys who came off the bench tonight, Bruce Brown, 12 points. Jordan Wara, 14 points. You know, Jonte Porter, scoreless in 27. And then Jamias Ramsey with 10 in 18 minutes. That's actually a pretty good night for them, but a lot of this was transition. Or it was sort of really sporadic for that group. And, you know, for the Raptors, it was just getting out on the break and guys making the right plays. And, you know, that allowed the Raptors to actually take, a brief lead for a bit there, too. And even going into halftime, the Raptors, you know, were right there and competitive with Orlando. But, I mean, at the same time, like, you know, you can always tell that the Magic, again, just had a different gear. I think off the Magic's bench, the guy who impressed me was Cole Anthony. It, you know, 22 minutes, 12 points, like, this is kind of like, you know, a regular game for him. But it just seemed like he was really able to get the key buckets for them when they were stuck. When, you know, when it was a tough bucket and you had to create something in the half court, I felt like he was able to contribute. Isaac, who can sometimes be inconsistent from three, was really able to, you know, not only just impact the game with his defense, he's just like 6'11 and just gigantic playing on the wing. But, you know, he was also able to knock down some corner threes and finish in transition off of cuts and things like that. I just thought that Weirdly enough, actually, when the Magic's second unit played through their second unit versus playing through their nominal star, which would be Paolo in that case with that group, that worked really well for them. But ultimately, I think the Magic also figured out, like, you know what, we can also use Paolo in a variety of ways. We can use him as a screener, have him roll to the rim, you know, play him essentially like a small ball five. Again, this is one of the luxuries when you have so many big wings, is that, like, you can kind of toggle through and have other players sort of, you know, even though Paolo is not taller or even bigger than Isaac, but Isaac can shoot the ball and space off the floor. So, you know, you can involve Paolo in the main pick and roll action, and that got him a couple of highlight dunks and all that kind of stuff. But just generally, you know, the Raptors didn't have a lot of counters. Orlando is very good on defense. And again, outside of the Raptors scoring in transition, which the Raptors had like 30 points in the fast break, but it was like the stat came up that in the half court, Raptors were shooting like 33%. And that's kind of how it felt for the majority of the game. You know, you got a really nice night from Gary Trent Jr., who goes off for 31 points, you know, and 10 of 17 shooting, 7 of 11 from 3, 4 of 5 from the foul line, just really red hot and doing a really great job of scoring, being aggressive, attacking. And, you know, it wasn't something that we have seen much from Gary this season. To be fair, he hasn't really been given that many opportunities to showcase and be this aggressive. But at the same time, it's still, you know, really cool to see, you know, this level of scoring from him, where it felt effortless, it felt easy. Sometimes it was, maybe there's like a few that was forced, but generally speaking, it's a lot of catching and shooting. It's a lot of being aggressive, moving off ball, just spacing, and getting yourself open a little bit. I thought he paired really well with Quickly tonight. Those two have been playing the backcourt quite a bit. And of course, it's kind of a one-way relationship, Quickly with 10 assists and Gary with zero. But nevertheless, I just thought that, you know, they were able to pair and find each other well. You know, the Gary with zero assists, I mean, you know, people are always going to quick to poke holes or whatever. And you know, I don't think that's necessarily entirely unfair. But like, you saw one play where I actually liked it, where Gary had a shot at it, but he worked the pick and roll, got blitzed. Instead of forcing a shot or trying to dribble around it or trying to create the play on his own, he actually gave up the pass over the top to Kelly. The two defenders, including one help defender, came off of Kelly, went on to Gary, and he threw the pass over the top to Kelly, who short rolled, swung it into the corner to Quickly. Quickly then attacked the closeout and got back into the paint and, you know, drew a second help defender, and then he kicked it out back to the top to Gary, who got a super wide open three. Like, it's stuff like that. You know, you do hope that you see more of, because, you know, with Gary, you know that if you give him the ball, he's probably going to shoot, you know. But at the same time, if he's not always just shooting, if there's other aspects to his game, again, it's the scoring is really good. Like, I think there's really value in that. But, you know, is he defending? Is he also playmaking? There's just got to be just a little bit more. But ultimately, you know, it's a reminder that, you know, this guy can really score, and you know, whether it's a value to the Raptors or a value to other teams, like, you can definitely see the skill set with Gary. So he carried the offense for the most part. I thought Kelly had a pretty cold night. He finished a couple of putbacks later on, which was kind of like his own putbacks off of his own drives. But, you know, I didn't think that was the strongest game for him. He was also in foul trouble. It's strange because you've seen games this season, especially post All-Star break, called a little bit tighter, but you also saw quite a few foul calls in this one. Raptors got called for 24 personal fouls, and Kelly ended up fouling out at the very end there. But, you know, it kind of just speaks to just how tight the game was called. I obviously think that, like, you know, the biggest reason for the 24 fouls is the size mismatches that I mentioned up top, but there was a lot of, like, stopping and going and stopping and going. Like, this game really did take quite a while to sort of carry through, but nevertheless, it was a difficult night for Kelly. He had to come off the floor for a little bit too because of that foul trouble. You know, it was actually very interesting listening to Garrett Temple come on the program this week, and he actually explained how the Raptors, about 9 games ago now, but basically since Jakob Poeltl went down, the Raptors have flipped their entire defense to stop funneling as much action towards the middle and sending more action towards the sideline so they can sort of, like, you know, bring the help defenders over and sort of, like, you know, guard in that fashion. But ultimately, you know, I thought the Magic just kind of overwhelmed the Raptors. Like, there's too many guys getting open. And I think eventually when the Magic got on and on and more into the game, they got much more comfortable. Their second half offense, where they scored 64 points in the second half, like, that was, you know, was much, much closer to, you know, the differential in talent in this game versus the first half, where the Magic did have some, like, you know, empty possessions, or they got the ball stolen quite a bit. But when they really firmed up and sharpened up, I mean, it was tough. It was really tough for the Raptors to score. Quickly, I don't think that he forced a shot that often in this one. You know, again, the Magic had sent a lot of extra attention at him. But quite of a quiet night for him. 10 points, 10 assists. You know, we've been used to seeing obviously 20s for Quickly in terms of his scoring, but at the same time, I think, you know, it's just watching him also become a playmaker and sort of set up guys that way. He just didn't get that many shots. You know, the Magic did a good job of shutting him down and I don't know. I wouldn't even say setting extra bodies so much, but they just had pretty good perimeter defense against them in general. Didn't feel like he can get into the paint that often. The one time he did get into the paint that I remember is when he went one-on-one with Franz Wagner and set him up and got him sort of flat and was able to blow past him a little bit for a little banker with the floater. But ultimately, it was a difficult night for Quickly, and it wasn't generating as much offense as you have typically seen from him. I thought the playmaking again with him and Gary was good. He was also, I would say, more looking to distribute than score in this one. But, you know, a bit of a quiet night for him. For Grady, you know, he was a minus 32 in this game, which is quite notable. Again, the Raptors only lost by 10. So, you know, I think that Grady, it's unfortunate because the starting lineup got beaten to start the game. Again, Darko had to call that first timeout. And then also to start the third quarter as well. So I just think the starting lineup just didn't match up well with what the Magic threw out there tonight. But ultimately, like, you know, I think for Grady himself, he wasn't really a pop free for a lot of threes. I think that's a credit to Orlando's defensive execution at the start of the game. You can tell they're really showing him respect, because they actually had Jalen Suggs, who is their best perimeter defender. They had him guarding Grady to start the game. Now that eventually flipped around a little bit. And of course, you could always see some cross matches in that sense. But ultimately, like, Grady just couldn't pop free for some of these threes that he's been typically used to. He got his buckets a couple times off cuts and things like that, and that's always a part of his game, there's no doubt. But primarily, he needs to knock down the threes. And then when he did have chances at the threes, I felt like he was missing those chances and, you know, just not capitalizing the way that, you know, you've wanted to see him do it. By the way, he also got his first block, which is kind of amazing. Again, shouts to Keeks for this on Twitter. Kritika, who works at the other network, but like, she put out the stat that this is Grady's first block, I think, in 46 games, and this is the first block of his Raptors career. Like, that's kind of unbelievable. But in any case, yeah, he had a block in the first half, just making the right timely rotations. But yeah, it was a tough night for Grady. And weirdly enough, I think the second unit actually came in, and you saw, especially in the third quarter, Darko going to earlier substitutions. So he took Jonte out. You know, he took, I think, Ochai out. And I thought Ochai did decently tonight, by the way. I think his perimeter defense was pretty important. I mean, he was the main defender on Banchero, and Banchero had 5 of 15 from the field for 17 points. So, you know, I think you're more than happy with Abaji's version of defense in this one. He couldn't knock down corner threes and all that kind of stuff, which obviously he needs to, but he did make a couple of nice cuts. You know, he finished an alley-oop. Grady pushed the length of the floor and tossed it to him. That was a nice play. Just Ochai using athleticism in general. I mean, there's another one where he drove it down. I guess there was like some sort of weird closeout against him, but he was able to pump fake, drive, you know, and throw down a hammer dunk, which was fun to see. He is a great athlete. Another play that he scored on was he had, you know, caught a pass, and even though his defender was in position, but it was Cole Anthony, so he was able to use his size and bump and strength and just like move Anthony out the way a little bit, so he had an angle at finishing at the basket, which he did. So I just like the way Ochai, I guess, used his athleticism today. That's the main thing that he's going to be scoring off of, is doing that. But defensively, I thought he gave a good effort too. But they actually brought in Bruce Brown and Jordan Wara earlier in the third quarter. And first off, I mean, Wara, confounding player, because if you only saw little flashes and bits, you were like, okay, he can really make the impact. But then other times, you really wonder, like, you know, does he have the skill set to, you know, make a positive contribution in this specific system? You know, I don't think that he's necessarily like a great off-ball player. But at the same time, you also saw him go on a personal 8-0 run, and he knocked down two threes. He had a big rebound, which he won over in a crowd. And he is 6'8", and he is decently athletic. He was able to knock. He was able to get the rebound. Then he ran up the floor and actually hit a pull-up three, which forced Orlando into a timeout. But, you know, I think Wara, he continues, for me at least, he looks much more dynamic with the ball in his hands versus without it. But he's also not so good with the ball in his hands that, like, that just changed the offense in any sort of notable way. So in any case, I think Wara continues to show me something, but also at the same time, like, I don't quite see the full fit. I think there needs to be growth in that area to especially improve off ball, in addition to the fact that I think, yeah, defensively, you know, that he's not really making a positive impact. Brown, I think the last two games have been pretty good. I mean, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. It always helps for him to knock down a couple of threes. He's been really cold on that. But mostly, I think he's just been over-aggressive at certain moments and turned the ball over. There are just a couple of moments where you're just like, ah, man, I expected like a little bit more solid from a veteran. But at the same time, he's been playing better. He's been able to finish a little bit better as well. And just, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of games where I feel like he was over aggressive kind of for no reason, or he was gambling for no reason on offense or defense. He was a lot more solid today on the whole. Jamias Ramsey, I thought he actually did pretty well. I mean, first up, he knocked down his first three as a Raptor. He's on that second 10 day now, so the Raptors will continue to get a look at him. The big thing with him is just, you know, he's a willing defender. He's got super long arms. He's pretty strong as well, and he slides his feet. So you're seeing a lot of like perimeter pressure defense that he's playing. Now, sometimes obviously that's going to burn him if somebody crosses him over, or they set him up and run him into a screen. You know, all of a sudden, you know, that physicality gets countered and he gets kind of stuck on some of those plays. But in general, I've enjoyed the fact that, you know, he's played some level of perimeter defense. I feel like he's almost like a Bajie for the second unit in a way. Offensively, he's maybe a little bit more aggressive, and he went hard to the basket a couple times. Got himself some free throws in this game where the refs really did want to call fouls. Also, you know, he made a couple other slashing drives, but generally speaking, I think the main thing for him is the fact that he can get low, get you know, slide around, bump, you know, the driver, and you know, just play some good pressure defense. I think we start really simple when we're talking about 10-day guys. Can he do that and then sort of build out from there? And I liked his offense. A lot of it wasn't, you know, he created very little of it for himself, but at the same time, you know, he was efficient with it. Jonte had a really quiet night, 27 points, scoreless, you know, still set up the offense decently, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. But I don't feel like his defensive impact was as big as it was, for example, last game against Detroit. Orlando obviously is way better than Detroit. And then offensively, he couldn't knock down the threes. Now, of course, there's some games where he can knock them down, some games he can't, whatever. That's, you know, that's going to come with it. But I don't think he's actually giving you that much else scoring-wise as a role threat to the basket, or when he's, you know, he's not really giving you many putbacks and things like that. So you are kind of trading off in terms of what style of center you have. But again, like, this is all you got right now. So he's going to continue to play, and you're going to have to continue to accept whatever he gives you. But in any case, that was the report, I guess, from tonight's game. The Raptors, also credit to them, did a very, very classy job of holding a moment of silence for RJ's brother, Nathan, who had passed this week. And RJ continues to be away from the team. Darko said that, you know, they're going to give him as much time as he needs and support him in any way possible. So I just hope that, you know, RJ takes that time to be with his family. I don't even know how you would begin to heal from something like this. But ultimately, I hope that he understands that there's got a lot of love and there's a lot of appreciation. And whenever he's back, he's going to get so much love and support, you know, from the fans here and everything like that. But in any case, the Raptors continue to struggle in their current form. And I guess, you know, if you want to say tank, whatever, I still think that, like, the losses don't burn me. It's really just like seeing how they play and grow. And this game, you kind of knew it was going to be a real issue because Orlando did have a lot of that size. And the Raptors had a good plan against Banchero, but Franz kind of really burned them. You know, he only had 9 shots in 31 minutes, but scored 19 points. You know, I thought the Magic also balanced out their offense. Wendell got going later on in the game, knocked down a big three, had a couple cuts to the basket, just physicality around the hoop, you know, kind of played his game. Suggs continues to be just a thorn in the Raptors' sides. Maybe when the Raptors chanted Jalen Suggs, at Suggs maybe in his rookie year when it was like him versus Scotty. I don't know if he keeps that in mind, but he kind of just plays like this all the time. But in any case, we saw him be an antagonist at the start of the season in that game when the Magic blew the Raptors out. He was 6-9 from the field, knocked down 3 threes as well. It's tough. And I think the main lesson to learn from the Magic, I mean, first and foremost, you know, they have a lot more size. So, you know, it's a lot easier for them to, not easier, but they got a lot more to work with. But ultimately, for a young team, they got to find the way to be successful defensively. And it's something that I talked about with Dwayne Casey earlier on this week on the Raptors show. But that was when he first came to the Raptors, that was what he implemented. You know, whatever the offense was going to be what it is. But he said they spent 80% of the time in practice on defense, becoming solid defensively, taking a group that wasn't strong defensively at all. I mean, they literally had the worst defenses in the league under Jay Triano, you know, and it wasn't like they had great defensive personnel even when Masai and Bobby first started to make impressions on the team. Eventually they got there, but like they were really, really working and hammering out how strong they're going to be on defense. And that's how they started to become competitive, get into closer games, and then they were able to, you know, become what they were. But it starts with defense. It's similar to what Ime Udoka wanted to do with Houston this year. Was the reason Houston got off to a good start, and they're slowing down too, but like, the reason they got off to a really good start is because their players started to really value defense, and they got, you know, off to a great start on that front, you know. And I think Orlando, their whole thing is they have a lot of size, and, you know, they have players who are tough minded, but you can also tell that they want to play defense. A lot of guys give a lot of effort, and they really, you know, protect the glass well, and they protect the rim well as well. So, you know, like that's what they kind of have to hang their hats on, and they have something to hang their hat on. And I think for the Raptors, like, offensively, you know, Darko's definitely done a good job of putting in a ball movement system. And, you know, even in games like this, you still see lots of Raptors, you know, making great backdoor cuts and all that. But realistically, it's the defensive end that the Raptors have been so weak all season. And that's the main reason why they can't go anywhere, is the fact that, you know, they just don't have they don't offer defensive resistance. And of course, I'm not talking about right now based on the roster, because they have so many injuries, but even right now they start Kelly and four guards, and they continue to do that, and that's not going to be enough to guard anybody in the league. So Orlando is not even that strong of an offensive club. You could probably tell watching this team, they're still quite young, they still go through, you know, droughts and all that kind of stuff, but and they don't always execute. That's why they have Joe Ingles on the floor sometimes, to just kind of like, you know, be their calm head in the, you know, in the room kind of deal, and create some, I guess, make the game look easy, because he's always just walking through games. It's actually quite impressive to see a man just like full on walk throughout a game. But like, yeah, he's you know, the Magic in general, though, they hang their hand on defense, and that's how they become competitive. There are 39 wins now, 39-28, and they're having, you know, as good of a season as they could really reasonably even expect to have. So I guess they'll be making their first playoff appearance, and we'll see sort of what lessons they take out of that. But they are clearly building an identity, and I hope that the Raptors, you know, even though they're building through offense, they need to eventually work on their defense. And yeah, you know, it wasn't good enough tonight, but again, nobody really expected anything other than the result that we saw here tonight. So before I get to the three stars, message from our sponsor: are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a spicy, tasty broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your three stars from this game against the Raptors. First star's obviously got to be Gary. 31 points, just completely popped off offensively. Like, you know, we know that this is something that he can do. He just doesn't always get enough opportunity or the minutes. Obviously, he was in a rhythm and shot it really well tonight too. But this is what Gary can do. I mean, even the last game before, when he was in Portland, before he missed the last couple with I forget even what injury he had, but he was doing exactly this. So I think the hope is that, of course, the sheer volume of the scoring might not always be there, but I do hope that he develops that secondary skill. Is it going to be defense? Is it going to be playmaking? Those are the two right now. It's like, you know, pick one. Ideally two, but let's just start with one if you add a second part. But hey, that one dimension that he does have is something that, you know, can be very, very effective, and we've seen it on multiple fronts of how good he can be offensively. Your second star... Wow. might go with Bruce. Honestly, Bruce made some loud mistakes. Like, I can't lie to you that there are certain games where I'm a little bit unhappy with, like, you know, okay, Bruce is doing a little bit too much sometimes. But tonight, overall, I think he played a solid game. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 5 away from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. Just only had maybe one or two moments where he tried to overdo it versus, like, 5 or 6. So, I think, yeah, if he just plays and sticks to his regular game, I think he's going to be good. Of course, it helps when he knocks down threes, but still, he did a good job and kind of being the backup point guard right now. It's not the ideal role for him, but, you know, he did a good job finding guys, cutting us, stuff like that. Your third star, I don't know. I might want to give it to Ochai. I just thought he played good defense, and he hasn't gotten a star in a while, so Ochai's going to get it. Offensively, he's still very much like a zero, or maybe even slightly below zero, but I think, you are seeing the fact that he can guard, and especially with how much I just talked about defense, the fact that he's the guy who can play some defense is very, very welcome for me. So your Gerald Henderson Award winner, I said it earlier, but I think it's going to be Cole Anthony for me. Just feels like he made a lot of key shots and just to give the Magic life on offense, especially when the group can be quite, you know, static and whatever. The guy that comes in and just gives you one or two tough buckets can really, really help you in certain moments and just maintain momentum or give you some momentum. So Magic overall did a decent job offensively, 50% from the field, 45% from three, and went to the foul line 22 times. But it was just a couple of timely buckets for him. So I'm going to give it to Cole Anthony. But in general, Raptors lose. And, we will continue to see probably more of that as the season goes on. But just keep watching for these little marginal improvements by the rest of the players. But in any case, to wrap up, you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Catch you after the next game.